Respect and value. Are these words that you choose to live by? Are they a part of your life? I'd like to invite you to join me in prayer. Loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the unity that you show for each one of us, God, we look to you for that example. We look to you to lead us, to guide us. And I certainly this morning am looking to you to speak your words, that each one of us can hear what you have for us, that it is individual knowledge that you have prepared. And I thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Values quantifies the worthiness of a physical object. And respect is a virtue given to living things as a sign or a show of humility towards them. Value could be compassion, creativity, gratitude, community, being part of something bigger than who you are. It's those things that we think about, respect and value. Respect is to listen to others, be patient, say please, thank you, be polite. This week I was out and I decided that I must look really old that day, because every time I came to a door, usually it was a woman opening the door for me. And I'm thinking, this is not normal. But I was very grateful, and they were being polite. They said hello, and I thought, wow, this is kind of a nice way to be, to express that to others, to compliment people when they do something impressive. When you are around someone and they do something that you think, that is really special, do you tell them? Or do you just let it go? And here's the one that I have to ask. If you do this, treat others how you would like to be treated. I'll be honest, there's times that I'm glad I'm not treated the way that I have treated others. That's something that I have to stop and recognize. That's something to be respectful of others. To show gratitude, to thank people for their assistance and their support. To everyone. When you hear someone thank you, it means something. It's not just words. I know in working with my employees years ago, thank yous went a long way. Their production improved. They were happier. They felt appreciated. Last week, we emphasized the source of spiritual gifts. God gives them through the Holy Spirit. Those gifts each one of us have, and they're not all the same, but God, through His Spirit, gives those to us. Today, we will look at the diversity of the gifts in their unity. And I know that here of late, the word diversity has taken a very negative approach. We're looking at it from God's perspective. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31, the first part of 31a. The Corinthian believers were using spiritual gift as a measure of their spirituality. And it is real easy to fall into that trap, that this gift is more important than your gift, or your gift isn't quite as good as the one that I have. And that's what this church in Corinth was doing. They were setting a situation where mine's better. They placed a hierarchical value to their gifts. The gifts are great, but the source of the gift is where we should focus. It's not the gift itself. It's where it came from. And that's where we always need to go back to and look. The Corinthian church struggled with temptation to take up the values and behaviors of the culture around them. Do we fall into that trap at times? The culture around us today is built and fueled by division. Look around us. We see division everywhere. divisive approaches. My way is better than your way. You don't have to be out of your home very long or to have the TV on very long when you don't hear or see that exemplified. But at the core, it's really a lack of trust from Jesus. If we're saying that this culture or my way is better, are we really showing honor to God, to Jesus, or are we saying it's about me? The body is not made up of one part, but of many. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free, everyone across the spectrum. And we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Think about it. If we were all exactly the same, nothing unique, we would all be the same. What would we have to share with one another? Our lives would mirror everything with everybody. Building a relationship in that would be a real challenge because they're exactly like me. Even identical twins are not exactly the same. As I read these verses, it took me back to a time in my life that I wished I hadn't done, but I had a poster in my booth at college that was a parody of these verses, but it wasn't a positive parody. Every time I read these scriptures, my mind goes back to that stupid poster that I had that I wish I had never seen because it was very negative. Our new identity now is we are children of the Father. In that new identity, we have a unity with one another in Christ. And we can't erase that. God doesn't erase it. It is there for us. Think about if the foot would say, look down your foot and you're thinking, okay, your foot's going to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body. Think about our bodies. Which part do you want to give up? Which part do you think, well, that's not important. That's not something to have. The gentleman that and his wife that we eat breakfast with every Sunday morning, his health issues are becoming tougher and tougher. His left hand, he's right-handed, thankfully, but he lost all feeling in his left little finger. And now it's the next finger. And now it's the next finger. He says, I can't feel anything. He says, I can pinch. This is it. But he notices it every time he moves his hand. He has to be careful because he can burn these three fingers and never know that he burned them because there's no feeling left. So every part of your body, God-given, is important. It is something that as we age, different parts don't function quite like they used to. And we miss that function. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Thinking about this, how often do we speak or think poorly of ourselves? Maybe you've never questioned who you are or your position, or certainly in school, it was real easy to get pigeonholed out of the main crowd. You were bullied, or you were made fun of, you were wondering, how do I fit? Where do I fit? And you didn't do anything to cause it. It just was how those around you treated you. And it was real easy. It's real easy to question, well, where am I at? Am I what they say? We are in no position to make such judgments on ourselves, because God has placed the parts in the body of which we are, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you are where God wants you. He's with you. He's loving you right where you are. When we downgrade our identity as a child of God because of how we measure ourselves using our distinctions, we are essentially telling God that we do not trust him. I'm going to make this personal, and I'd like for you to just listen. When I downgrade my identity as a child of God because of how I measure myself using my distinctions, I am essentially telling God that I do not trust him. It's real easy to fall into that trap. God sees you differently than you see yourself. We do not trust that he has properly placed the parts in the body because we don't fit where we think we should. In reality, we think he made a mistake. Often we question God in what he is doing. How does this work? I don't fit in here, God. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. A man's little finger on his left hand, he misses every time he moves his hand. I've seen people that have lost fingers. My grandfather lost the first part of his first digit. I'll never forget. He made a joke of it. He had fun with poking and picking on me with it. But it was always there. That digit was never whole again. And those members, verse 23, of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member. Verse 25, and there may be no dissension within the body. For the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There is no division. It's connection. Paul shows the higher position body parts looking down on the lower body parts, effectively saying that they are not needed, akin to dismissing the marginalized members in the church. We must never look down on others, regardless of where you are. God has put the body together, not us. We didn't pick and choose. We didn't go through and draw a name and of a gift, and that's what we've received. God gave us what he wants. God is the one who gives the honor. We should not dishonor any other parts of the body, but display equal concern. No one is dispensable or interchangeable. We all have a part. We all fit. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you that you are more excellent. You are the body of Christ. Each person is a part of it. I'm going to play, it's about a minute segment of a song. Like for you to listen, and part of it, I mean, there should be the lyrics popped up on the screen. Think about where this is in your life.
Where to find you? God only knows how to break through. God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
And I'm grateful that God knows. I want to read verse 26 again, right quick. If one member suffers, we all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. I want to take just a little bit and tell a story that I read. It comes from a pastor in a church in southeastern part of the U.S. At the time that he wrote this, he was 44 years of age, married and had, I think, three children. But when he was 5 days old, he was adopted by a couple. And he grew up as an adopted child into this house. And it was a wonderful home. The people treated him well. It was a positive adoption. And he was very successful because of that. But when he was around 42 years of age, he got to meet his birth biological mother. And the emotions were probably off the chart. But it was one of those God-given blessings because his adoptive parents got to meet his biological mom, and that was a positive. His wife and children got to meet their grandmother, and it was positive. But in his congregation, they did not know that he had been adopted. Was something he never really talked about. But when this all opened the door and his mom became a part of the family, which she did, and they all embraced that, his congregation was left with how do they feel about his situation? And he just opened up, probably with a lot of emotion, and shared. And they embraced the fact of knowing the travel that this man had made from a small child, a baby, of knowing what adoption looks like, feels like. And he was able to open up and share with them. And they benefited in his joy. They got to share in his joy. The opportunity to share is before all of us. And not everyone has a story like that, but he opened the door. And that's what I think Paul is talking about. A lot of this is being part of the body means we can share and trust in that. says in his personal story, it increased their joy, the members of the congregation. It has reminded them of God's faithfulness in a new and fresh way. These are things that are just so far beyond what I would have expected, and no one saw that coming. And I've been so humbled by how God can use story. And that's if you've ever shared something with someone and they don't have any clue as the experience that God is allowing them to be a part of. A lot of times it becomes personal, and not everything needs to be shared. I get that. That's not, you know, pulling back the screen and everything comes out. But how we can extend the blessing of those and the impact of those to others in a way that reality impacts their lives. You can't fabricate the reaction. God's grace and Holy Spirit at work. It says, and that seeing the way that my story has impacted others by God's grace has been basically what it's done for me. It's reinforced and deepened my faith in a miracle-working God, my faith in a God, and not only my faith, but now I'm more. I think I'm in a position where I'm expecting to see God work like that more because I've seen how he's done this with this particular part of my story. If you've been involved in something like that, you can trust God and know that he has more opportunities for you. But he says, we need each other. We belong to one another. God has chosen us. Not only does it tell us about our place in God, but it tells us about God, that he's a choosing God. Adopted into an adopted family, they wanted you. They chose you. That tells us something about the universal nature of who God is. He is a choosing God, and he's chosen us for his joy and holiness and to belong to his body. He is that good. We are chosen people, chosen to be in the family of God. That's a huge, huge thing. A child that is born to his parents, they didn't necessarily choose. Maybe the gender was not exactly what they expected, but they love them anyway. An adopted person is chosen, specific. And that's who we are. No matter what part we have, it is God who gave us that part. And God does not make mistakes. I want to read from a devotional that I have used from time to time. It's from today's God's Word. It's GCI out of England. See if these words, if you can place where you might have heard them. All for one and one for all. Anybody can think of maybe where that came from? Verse 12:12, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, through many, are one body, so it is with Christ. The all for one and one for all goes back to a book written by Alexandre Dumas, The Three Musketeers. 300 years before that, these same words were used by William Shakespeare in one of his poems. And you back it up even more, and Paul also used essentially these same words. Paul rises above Shakespeare and Dumas to take the moral high ground, writing as he does not want swordsmen or Roman soldiers, but the very body of Christ. What does the scripture tell us? Not just that all Christians have gifts they need to share with the wider church, or that no Christian should look down on another, or even the importance of diversity, but also that all members in the body are equally deserving of honor, everyone. Our sorrows and successes should be shared. Everybody belongs, and all the parts of the body need to work together. In the body of Christ, it is not every man or woman for him or herself. Like the Father, Son, and Spirit, we stand together, united, all for one, and one for all. God is faithful, and he has called and placed you in his body just as he sees fit. And there is no dishonor in this placement. We are where God has placed us. Are we willing to share in our joys and in our sorrows? Do we grieve for one another when something is tough or a loss? Are we willing to shout for joy when joys happen, not to us, but maybe a fellow church member, because God has put us where he wants us to be? You join me in prayer. Loving Father, God, it is a gift to be adopted into your family, to know that you love us, that you care for each one, that you have perfect plans for us. And God, we just look to you and ask that we can embrace that we can be so excited to be a part of your family, that we can share both joys and sometimes those sad times, because they're a part of life. But God, you are a constant, and we know that you always have the best for us. I thank you and I praise you in Christ's name. Amen. As we think about the communion and the fact, and I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, both the fruit of the vine and the broken bread are examples of Jesus's love for us. So as we have the opportunity and we come before him and we look at the opportunity to take part in the communion, there's love that is flowing from this table. I want to read John 6:53 and John 6:35. Jesus said to them, this would have been the disciples in the upper room, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." And we recognize this isn't flesh and blood that's at the table. This is a representation. And then in 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." These are elements that remind us of those things, that remind us of God's love, reminds us that God has chosen us, has put us in his body where he wants us to be. So we have the opportunity to come before him and take part in the love symbols that he has given us. If you would bow your heads. God, I thank you again for your blessings, for your providing, your provisions that you give us. God, for the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus that is before us in the form of elements of that we can take part of. But God, help us look to you as you pour out your love in wherever you have placed us. And God, I just ask for your blessing on this table, the elements, and on each that come forward. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for our service today. As we have sung, help us to go forth in your name. As different members of one body, how you guide us to go forth may be different for each of us, depending on what part of the body of Christ that you have made us. However we interact with others, we know you will be guiding the interactions. May we represent you in the way that you guide each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll close with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.